Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now, today's message.
Well, hey, I don't have any PowerPoints today because I didn't know exactly how to create slides of the sun going dark and the moon turning red. So here's the deal. People get distracted by that stuff. It's in Mark 13. You can go ahead and turn there. We're going to be in verses 21, 27 today. You know, people get distracted by the cosmic imagery of apocalyptic passages. And so here's where we need to focus is on what the passage teaches us about how to live. And so I want to start this way. Boy, in today's world, things are getting crazy. Don't you think it's getting a little crazy out there? Until a lot of days, and I live in America, so I'll just speak for here. This is happening around the globe. But some days I don't even feel like I live in America. And there is a frontal assault, it's not subtle, on Christ and his kingdom, which means on the church. And what this passage is going to teach us, and next week's passage, is that regardless of what we're facing, we can endure if we live the way we should live. And now, that involves Christian morality, but it involves more than that. In the Old Testament, the people of God were sent into exile because they weren't prepared. They didn't stay alert. And so they were co-opted into the cultures around them and began to live in compromising ways. And so God finally had enough. He considers that spiritual adultery. One of the reasons God hates divorce is he's been through one. If you read the Old Testament, God was divorced from his wife Israel because she committed adultery. So God's been through one. And it's hard. If you've been through a divorce, you know how hard it is, how painful it is. We have a merciful and forgiving God who restores. So always remember that. But the people of God compromised in the Old Testament, and so the temple was destroyed and trampled underfoot. And so when Israel returned from Babylon to Jerusalem, they had to rebuild the temple. And here's how that went down. This is the verse. How will we ever rebuild this temple? And the prophet spoke. You won't do it by might or by power. You won't do it by military might. You won't build the temple by political power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And so on those days when you're especially feeling the pressure against you and against us and against the church, and it feels like we're surrounded by opponents, we are, but it's not by might nor by power that we will overcome. We will overcome this way. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord. That's how we'll overcome. And we need to be praying and trusting God and trusting the power of the Holy Spirit. And now I'm all for voting. We ought to speak Jesus through our votes. We ought to be on school boards and making sure that as far as it's on us, that we participate in a way that prevents completely evil curriculum from coming into our schools. We ought to be on city councils and If you're qualified and you can and you feel led, you ought to run for office. And I'm for all that. But finally, none of that will finally build God's temple, because that only happens by the Spirit. And you are the temple. Each of you is a temple of the Holy Spirit. But this congregation, together, collectively, is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And the church around the world is God's temple, where he dwells by his Spirit, and he's building it. And so when we read this passage, I want you to have the big picture. So here's another place I'm going to take you. Hebrews chapter 12 addresses this. The author of Hebrews says, God has shaken the world before, but a time is coming when he's not only going to shake the world, he's going to shake the heavens, baby. The baby part's not in there. He's going to shake the heavens too. He's going to shake all creation, and he's going to bring it down. It's going to be a cataclysm. So the author of Hebrews says, make sure you endure. And in chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, he urges each one of us this way. You know, we have the Olympics coming up. And so I don't know if you love the Olympics. I really enjoy the Olympics, summer and winter. And you notice, for example, in track, before the races, they shed their warm-ups, and they shed everything down to these very tight track performance-enhancing track suits nowadays that actually have less wind resistance than the human skin. So they can actually run just a little faster because they're down to these uniforms they wear in the running races. Wrestlers take off their warm-ups down to their singlets so they can wrestle better. When Paul writes Hebrews 12, 1 to 3, he uses the metaphor of ancient Olympic sports, the two oldest sports in the world, track and wrestling. Most people think it's wrestling. And he says, lay aside every encumbrance so that you can run the race with endurance, because tough times are coming. Now, this is a first century church. Remember, Rome doesn't like them. The Jews had become resistant to Rome. The Christians, Rome saw Christianity as a type of Judaism back then. And so here this branch of Judaism, Christianity, was spreading beyond Jewish people to Gentiles. Roman citizens were beginning to follow Christ. Greeks were beginning to follow Christ. Asians were beginning to follow Christ. And finally, late first century, Rome said, no mas, we got to do something. And so Jesus spoke beforehand in Mark 13. About this time when Rome would come in and destroy Jerusalem and trample Jerusalem under the feet of its soldiers and destroy the temple. And in 70 AD it happened. And then from 70 AD to the mid-90s AD, 95 or so, Rome continued to purge. Christians began to be the entertainment for a pagan crowd, being fed to wild beasts and being killed by gladiators and various forms of persecution. Rome really came after them. So a first century Christian would be reading passages like this, thinking, well, I know who that is, because he's demanding to be worshiped as God, the Roman emperors. So they would have immediately had a point of reference to understand persecution. And Hebrews 12 comes after that. Another place you can go that will expand on Mark 13 is the book of Revelation. It's written to seven churches in Asia. You can read about Jesus' letters to those churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Of the seven churches, five were lost and headed for eternal damnation. Churches. 5 of them. If you read those letters, you'll see it's because they're compromising under pressure from their culture that included, even in some cases, physical death at the hands of Rome. But just understand it this way, because this is how we live. The pressure from their culture and from the dominant political system that ran their world. In their world, there was a one-world government. No, it didn't span the globe, because their world didn't go around the globe yet. But it spanned the entire part of the world where they lived, and there was a one-world government, Rome. And if you resisted, they sent their armies in. They went door to door. Come on. And so, 2 churches were okay, Smyrna and Philadelphia. And to the church in Philadelphia, Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, Jesus said, if you'll endure, get through this, if you'll do that, I'll spare you from the great trial that's coming. And it's translated trial, it's the same word as is often translated tribulation. God's doing this to put a trial on the human race. And people get confused. The great tribulation is God's wrath. And so a lot of people think when we say we're going to be rescued from God's wrath, rescued from the tribulation, they think that means we won't go through any tribulation or trials. But there's a dragon. There's a beast. Ask those first century Christians what the beast can do. Because the beast isn't going to be new. The beast is old. He's had many versions. And there's going to be one final one. But he's been around a long time. And he tempted Adam in Genesis 3 with this. You'll be like God. You get to call your own shots. You don't have to live under his thumb. Live your own life. You be like God. And that brought an alien invader into the human race, evil. In Genesis 3, evil invaded the human nature. It didn't eliminate God's image, but evil became the dominant image of the human race. And the only way to be delivered from that is by accepting Christ and saying, I believe in my heart God raised him from the dead. And I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. And if you really believe that, then you really live that. When God does bring his wrath down on the human race in Revelation, read it in chapters 9 and 16, he's just nuking us. And this is the repeating line, and still they would not repent. He wipes out a third of the human race in one fell swoop, and still they would not repent. He rains down fire and brimstone, and still they would not repent. He sends plagues across the face of the earth that kill another half, still they would not repent. That's how strong evil is in the human nature. Revelation's quite a story. It's not a new story. It's just the final version of the same story. Because humanity has always resisted God and always wanted to cancel him. Cancel culture isn't new. Cancel culture is ancient. Read the second psalm. It starts this way. Why do the nations rage? Why do the kings conspire against the Lord and his anointed one? Here's why. Here's what they say. Let's cast off his chains and fetters. They see the lordship of God in those days through King David for the nations right around Israel, but today we know Jesus Christ is the eternal fulfillment of that psalm. People of the world, apart from Christ, see God's boundaries that that are intended to bless us. And you who follow Christ know God's boundaries are a blessing. But people who want to cancel Jesus Christ and cancel the gospel, they see it as prison. They see it as oppression. They see it as holding them down. They can't be themselves. Woe is me. I can't go out and be evil. So I want to cancel that. Psalm 2. Why do they rage? That's why. Nothing's changed. Why do they want to cancel you? Why does the world, and I'm speaking of world cultures, all cultures are man-made except the kingdom of God culture. That one's God-made. Otherwise, they're all man-made and therefore they're all evil. Why does the world want to cancel you? Why does the world want to silence you? Why does the world want to divest itself of the rulership of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because they see it as this oppression and they want to be like God. They don't want anything to hold them down or hold them back from pursuing the things that the book of Revelation talks about. Again, it's an expansion of Mark 13, but power, privilege, wealth, and the pursuit of hedonistic pleasure. Anything that holds them back from that. Well, we live in a kingdom that is upside down to the world. And these early Christians in the first century were subverting Rome, not by political power, not by military might. They were subverting Rome by living godly lives, by standing up for the truth about Jesus Christ and living it. So here we are, 2021. Nothing new under the sun. Church has been through it so many times, and before the church, the people of God of the Old Testament been through it so many times. It repeats through history, and it's going to keep repeating until the Lord returns. And that day's coming. If you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then you've got to buy into this passage. Do you believe the Lord's going to return? If you really do, you're going to live that way. So let's read. We'll start in verse 21. Mark 13. And then, so this is after the Lord cut short the days for the sake of his elect. And then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or look, there he is, don't believe it. False Christs and false prophets will arise and even perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect. So be on guard. I've told you all things beforehand. And so that's a good overarching idea for this week and next week, because both passages are about this. Be on guard, stay alert, be aware, understand, know what's going down. Get it. Get what this is, the days we live in. Understand it. Be aware of it. Know what's going down. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will even be shaken. Hebrews 12 in the book of Revelation, you can expand on all that. Read those books. And don't get bogged down in Revelation with the cosmic stuff. You know, there are creatures up in the throne room of heaven with eyes all the way around their heads, and they're flying around. Don't be going, oh, well, what do those eyes mean? Well, they're eyes. So they mean they can see. What's important is what they say. These are beings we don't have access to observe. But what are they saying? That's the important part of the story. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. To him be glory and honor and majesty and power forever and ever. Amen. That's what they're saying. They're non-human beings. Oh man, that's the thing. We're going to stick to the thing. And so, that's going to happen? Yeah, but let's stick to the thing. Here it is. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. He's coming back. And the whole earth is going to see him when he comes back. And he's going to come back in power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth and to the ends of heaven. So, let's talk about solutions. 21 and 22. Everywhere you look, people are offering solutions to the dilemma of humankind. And expand it beyond religious claims. I mean, there are going to be claims of being Christ and being prophets, and they're false Christs and they're false prophets. Don't listen to them. Stick with Scripture. Don't listen to all this stuff comes down as new revelation. I have a fresh word. And then the fresh word, I'm going, and where is that in the Bible again? Some people say things and I go, would you please just read your Bible? Like all the speculation. Which nation is Gog and Magog? Oh, let's find out which nation is Gog and Magog. Well, read your Bible. It's in Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 to 10. Gog and Magog, it's comprised of every nation on earth. Says it plain right there. It's every nation on earth because it's a worldwide conspiracy. It's not a nation. It's the elitists of the world take over the world. Read the story of Revelation. The elite from every nation conspire, and they oppress the masses. Read the story. Chapter 14 to 19 in particular talks about this. The power elite of the world that are antichrist in their purpose, in their very spiritual DNA, they're against Christ. And they take over. The leading consumer nation is tagged as a harlot. And in the conspiracy, the other nations suddenly become jealous of the leading consumer nation that buys most of the goods produced around the world. And they come against this nation and they bring her down. They destroy her. And they celebrate just briefly because it seems like almost the very next day, then they realize, in the words of one of my favorite theologians, Scooby, Rut-row. And here's what they say, who's going to buy our goods? There's no one left to buy our stuff anymore, and the entire economic system of the entire world implodes and collapses on itself. We are on a course of self-destruction. God doesn't want to destroy us. He's going to bring it down on the human race. It's coming. But he would prefer not to. He loved humanity so much that he sent his only begotten son. Would you send your only son to a sure death, to die for people like Osama bin Laden? Just saying, God did. He doesn't want to have to do this, but he will do it. And he has done it. He did it in the flood. He did it in the exile of Israel. He's going to do it if he has to. And the book says the time comes when he has to. It's a bummer to think about. Now, there are no other solutions to the human dilemma than the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be a lot of claims besides religious claims. There will be people claiming, I have the solution. It's in radically transforming the political system of your nation. Well, you're just going to exchange one imperfect system for what is perhaps an even more imperfect political system, and you're going to exchange one set of values for even more evil core values. Come on. But none of those things are the solution. There's only one solution, and it's the transformation of the human mind and spirit by the power of Christ through the Holy Spirit. That's the only solution to the human dilemma. Otherwise, we are hopelessly trapped pursuing evil. And even evil people, you know, people that don't follow Christ can do what's right. You know, there are people that make no claim, any religious claim at all, let alone a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that do the right thing sometimes, like donate their 737s to fly goods and supplies into Haiti or into Puerto Rico, all on their own nickel, maybe donate total $1 million to the relief effort, you know, things like that. People that don't follow Jesus can still at times choose to do the right thing because the image of God is still in them. But in the big picture, our most righteous living in God's eyes is nothing. So Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and God isn't a perfectionist. Jesus supplied that. Here's what God expects, a sincere heart, that we do actually live for Jesus and rely on the Holy Spirit to empower us to do that. And God knew we were going to make mistakes, so we have an advocate with the Father when we blow it. He helps us. He works with us. Life's a journey. God sent His Spirit. You know, it says that we often think the Holy Spirit's a comforter. You know, that word is misunderstood oftentimes, like He comes alongside us and gives us a hug. Pobrecito. No. It means companion in purpose. Now, does the Holy Spirit give us peace? Of course. Does He give us joy? Of course. But that word is that we have a companion journeying alongside us according to God's purpose in our lives, and He is out to help us accomplish God's purpose. Each of you has a purpose, and the Holy Spirit takes care of that. Now, that's the only answer to the human dilemma, is to be radically transformed and revolutionized in your deepest space where you really live, in your mind and spirit, your deepest space where some things only you know about yourself. In that space, the Holy Spirit wants to get in there and transform you from the inside out and transform your DNA into the spiritual DNA of Christ. And it's a journey. It's a lifelong journey, and perfection is after. We live in this life, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, we see through a glass darkly right now. In Romans chapter 8, he says we don't even know how to pray, so the Holy Spirit intercedes for us according to God's purpose in our lives. The Holy Spirit's your personal intercessor to bring about God's will in your life. People all get stressed out. Hey, everybody that's still searching, most of you are going to be younger. You don't know what you're going to do with your life. Can I say this? You do your best. You have a sincere heart toward God. Make your best decisions. God's will find you. If your heart's sincere, if you're doing your best and you're making your best decisions, you don't get out of God's will. And if you do happen to, He'll bring you back in. He cares about you that much. So relax. Just do your best. Don't stress. Be sincere and do your best. That's all you got to do. You'll hear Him. He speaks. He has a voice. It's a terrible thing to live in the silence of God. So be aware, stay alert, and realize the only solution for your personal dilemma, whatever it is, and the only solution for the dilemma of the human race broadly is the Lord Jesus Christ working in every person through the Holy Spirit to bring about kingdom existence, spiritual DNA. Come on, God. So, don't be led astray. Don't compromise. You see it and I see it in the church. 5 out of 7 in Revelation. Do the percentages on that. Weren't ready. They weren't alert. They were not aware. They didn't understand. They didn't get it. And they began to imbibe the ways of the world. And it happens in the church. Come on. You've all seen it. But you, be on guard. And Jesus said, I have told you all things beforehand. Be ready. We've had thousands of years as a collective church to prepare ourselves. And it seems like we always start over again and start from scratch. I'm just saying, today's a day when we need to start from scratch. The Lord will build his temple. I want to be part of that. Do you? So he's got to work in me. Does he have to work in you? And so, after that tribulation, the cataclysm's going to come. I don't know if we'll be around for that part. I want to be with Philadelphia. Because that's God's wrath. Now, we can talk about the wrath of Satan, the wrath of Antichrist. You can read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul talks about it. And through Antichrist, God's going to send a strong delusion. And through the deception of evil, even some of the elect might be led astray. Paul says it too, not just Mark, not just Jesus. So don't be led astray. Don't be pressured into compromising your life in Christ. You stay squared away with God and just keep your heart sincere, open. Open book to him. Live like an open book to God. Because the cataclysm's going to come, and then here's the final deliverance. The Son of Man's going to appear. He's going to come like thunder, power, glory, presence. He's going to come and gather his elect from everywhere, on earth and in heaven. And then, if you read Revelation, we're going to reign with him for 1,000 years on earth. It's going to be martial law. It's not heaven yet. Any of you ever seen Field of Dreams? One of my favorite lines. Shoeless Joe Jackson. Is this heaven? No, it's Iowa. I could say that about Springfield, Missouri. Is this heaven? No, it's Springfield, Missouri. Heaven's not yet. At the end of those 1,000 years, this is the power we're facing now. Be careful, be aware. At the end of Jesus reigning personally for 1,000 years, when he withdraws martial law at the end of the millennium, there's a final rebellion. You can read about it again in chapter 20, verses 7 to 10. There's a final rebellion. And the nations rise up one more time and number there as sand on the seashore, even though they're eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus for 1,000 years. They rise up and come against them. They're going to destroy the church and destroy and cancel Jesus. And that's the great flamethrower judgment, judgment by fire. And then it's over. New creation doesn't start till chapter 21. Can you imagine the power of sin? If Jesus is ruling personally for 1,000 years over us, resurrected Christ, and still rebel. So be aware. What's our way through it? Revolution through Jesus and the power of the Spirit. And not trusting, bottom line. Be involved. Let's transform culture wherever we can. But final, bottom line reality, not by might. Not by power. By my Spirit. That's what the Lord says. Endure, stay alert, be aware, be on guard. Know your enemy, but don't fear him. Don't fear. There's nothing to fear. We fear God. Thank you, Pastor Steve, for giving me one of the most difficult passages in the New Testament while you're gone. I know it's heavy stuff, isn't it? But we live in heavy times. Just look. What's going down? What's going down? Well, he's going to come back. In the meantime, it's on us to endure. Will you stand with me, please, and receive a blessing? Now, God, will you bring this home to us? Will you plant this deeply in us that we need to be aware of what we're living through and who is against us and understand? They don't live by our rules. We live by the kingdom protocol. They don't. But God, will you please hear our voice? We need your help. Send your Spirit. Now, Lord, will you bless your people in mind and spirit and with health for their bodies? Will you bless them in marriage? Bless them in their families, bless their children to 1,000 generations or until you return. Bless them in opportunities to lead people to faith in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless them with strong friendships and relationships. Lord, bless them in vocation, bless them in their ministries, bless them in their purpose, bless them in their finances. In every way, God, and whatever they're thinking right now is their biggest need at this moment, bless them, God. Move into their lives, ambush them, and lead them through that time of need, whatever it is. Let your Holy Spirit dwell richly in your people with the joy, peace, and righteousness of your kingdom. Now, Father, will you seal this blessing in everyone here right now? Seal this blessing by the infinite power and authority of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Father, make it so in Jesus' name.
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.